My parents
Who
do one
said it's guys?
Maybe Shlomo eats.
All right. Beish Kain. Aleph.
Oh.
All right. All right, Timmy, can you see us? We were just
eating something in Ilui Nishmas.
Dr. Noble's mother, yard site, first yard site.
No, third
yard site. It's today. Sorry about that. Okay, so we'll learn in her memory.
Thank you.
And we appreciate that. Did she like Kiddush?
She didn't like when my dad drank too much.
Ah.
So my dad always came back from shul saying he had one. The problem is his one was like this big.
All right, so we
one
begin.
More line, my father would say, what are we drinking to? say, how about 3 a.m?
all right, so here we go. We are in Sif and Resh Ayin Aleph. We are Sif Yud Gimel. Last week we finished Sif Yud Beis, which talked about how we make Kiddush, wash, and then make Hamotzi. There are those who wash, make Kiddush and Hamotzi. That is not the widely practiced position, but there we of course know many Yekki Jews who many Yekkis who do that. Anyway, so now we talk about how much needs to be considered. When we make Kiddush on Friday night, and the same halacha should apply as well also for Kiddush and Shabbos morning. So here we go, Sif Yud Gimel. Mechaber writes, Sarech lishtos mikos shel Kiddush mil kemelo lugma. Dahainu kol shi yisalkenu litzarecha bepiv ve'yeira'e mil'o lugmav. Okay, and then we'll clarify how much that is in a moment. So just translating. So you need to drink from the coast that upon which Kiddush was made, kimilo lugmav, which would actually really mean. So we usually think of it as a cheeksful, and it is. No, in practice, it's a cheeksful, but really, it's a mouthful. Okay, and that's why he has to clarify here. We always know milo lugmav as cheekful, but it's not really what it means. Right, the word male means full. Lugmav is really a mouthful. And so the hainu kosh is, so what does it mean to have a full mouth? It means kolshi salkenu litzat echad befiv. It's that you should move all the contents in your mouth. You can imagine all the liquid contents in your mouth and you would move them, or sort of remove them all to one side, right? You push it all to one side in your mouth. V'yeira'em elo lugmav. And then it appears full, meaning that's where you get this idea of a cheekful. So if you push everything to one side, I actually recommend you try this one time, not in front of other people, because it'll be disgusting. People will think, ugh, what are you doing? But you try to fill your David Noble's going for it, right? You can actually probably then, if you then were to, now don't do this in front of other people, if you would like, go in the kitchen and do this, and then you kind of spit it back into a cup, you can actually measure the size of a malo lugmav for yourself, which may actually be really, which may matter halachically if you're really on the margins here of how much you should drink. We'll talk about whether it's objective or subjective, this whole lugmav business. And then the Shulchan Aruch explains how much is this shear. V'hu rubo shel revius. It is the majority of a revius. All right, we'll explore the origins of the term revius today, by the way. Does anybody know where it comes from? Why is this sheer for a drinking? What is a revius? A revius of what? What is that? It's going to be out of a hint of a. We're going to talk about a lug, okay? But I think it's, if I'm not mistaken.
So it's a volume.
So it's actually yes. It's yes. So we'll see more about this in a moment. But anyways, it's a rubo shel revius. Now, just to get you some numbers here.
because I wanted to be practical halachas here, so I wanted to try to give you some guidance. So I went, I had a sefer that I got about Birkas HaMazon many, many years ago at this point. And it was put out by Rav Rimon. Okay, hopefully you've heard of Rav Rimon before. It was a preeminent posek in Eretz Yisrael. So he writes, this is in his sefer, about just practically how many fluid ounces are we talking about is revius, and how much is the real revius? Because you have to make kiddush, as we'll see, on a revius. That's the minimum amount in your coast shell kiddush. You have to have a revius in there. You can't use a little tiny shot glass for kiddush. That doesn't work. Okay, that may work. I'll only say it may work for Shabbos morning. He's actually going to discuss what happens if you make kiddush over whiskey on Shabbos morning. So he's going to talk about the shiurim here. And he's actually not so makil about the whole situation. But the revius, he says, is equal to 86 cc's or 2.9 fluid ounces. It's actually not so much, really, if you think about it. Each one of those shot glasses, if you look on the bottom of that right there, David, how many? What does it say? Does it give you a number of how many ounces that? It should say one, right? Yeah. The 1 ounce. So it's basically the equivalent of three shot glasses. Okay, of these small little ones, the plastic ones.
This shot glass is what, a revius?
That's 2.9 is a revius according to Rav Rimon.
And you eat row.
So then, when you drink, when you all you need to make is kiddush on the equivalent of three, and then when you drink, you have to have a majority of that, a little more than. You'll have about 44 cc's. I mean, 86 is the revius, so you're going to have 44. Again, somewhere in the neighborhood of a little over 1.5 fluid ounces. The Chazon Ish has larger shiurim across the board. He thinks that a revius is 5.1, so you have to think of do the majority of that, so around 2.6, to get you to a real revius. Okay, yes, yeah, Sidney, a quick question there?
Yes, it seems to me that these wonderful learned gentlemen are missing the point according to the Mechaber, because I could make the case based on the halacha as it's stated here that melo lugmav for you is different than for me.
Yes, we're going to talk about that in a moment. This Shabru is going to bring that up. Yes, we're about to touch on that. Very good. Yes. Is there subjectivity here to the person that's consuming? Okay, good. So let's take a look now at the Mishnah Berurah. Sif katan samich dalit. Tarich lishtos. You need to drink from the coast shel kiddush at least a melo lugmav. Okay? Ve'im lav, says the Mishnah Berurah, lo yosa. You're not yosa the mitzvah of kiddush. Lo yotze, he says. Fascinating. Then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. The presumption, by the way, if you made kiddush for other people and you didn't drink enough, maybe you actually didn't fulfill the mitzvah for them either. So you have to drink at least a melo lugmav. Now, what is that? How do we even define this? Samach hey. Kimelo lugmav. By the way, that's why the word sarich is there. I think that's where the Mishnah Berurah is picking up on that you have to drink at least this amount. Otherwise, no good. Right? That's why it says Sarich Lishtos. Okay. Now, Samechei, Kimelo Lugmav, Deva'inan Shir Choshu. What is the whole significance of a Melo Lugmav or a Rov Revius approximately? It's that it's a Shir Choshu. It's like an amount that it gives you some of a certain level of importance. What's the importance here? That it's a certain status. Shetisiyashev Dato Al Yedeze. Because, okay, that's like, I drank enough that I really enjoyed that. I put my, literally, tishyashev dato means to put your mind at ease. Like, I drank enough that I enjoyed from it. I didn't just take a little sip. I really was able to, so that's what halacha determines as the minimum amount that you've consumed something. Otherwise, it's just a sip. It's not a real thing. You know, and by the way, there are times when te'ima ba'alma is fine for halachic purposes. You make a bracha rishona. If I take a sip of water, you make a bracha rishona. But when it comes to doing the mitzvah of kiddush al yayin, you're supposed to drink enough that it's misyashev your das a little bit. Yeshiva das, I drank a little bit. Okay. So now, let's keep going. We're not done here with this. There's a lot there's a lot to say here. Samach Vav, the Hainu Vachulei, meaning this was going on the comment that explaining how you could push everything to one side of your mouth into one cheek, and that it would look full. And so he writes here, Velo ba'inan shiyehei melo piv mamash mishnei hatzadim. And this wouldn't make sense if I explained it the other way. Melo lugma really means a full mouth. But what it means is you push everything to one side. And he's clarifying, it doesn't mean you don't need to have a full mouth mamash on both sides. Okay? One side, you push everything to one side, that's enough of a measurement here. To explain Milo Lugmav. And Samach Zayin, he says here, Vehu Vechule. Now he gets to the part about a Rov Revius. Vishir Zeh, Dai Afilu Im Hayak Hakos Gadol Shemachazi Kama Revios. Now this is an important halacha because this is different on Pesach night, and it's actually a very important halacha so you don't end up falling off your chair at the end of Magid. So he says here that the shear of a Rov Revius. Let's approximate it around 1.5 or so ounces is enough no matter how big your cup is. You can have the biggest goblet in the world, and it's machzik. Remember, you're supposed to, we learn the halacha, you're supposed to fill your cup up. You can be machzik 8 fluid ounces, right? That's a big coast. You don't need to drink more than a rov revius, a melo lukmav, when you make kiddush. By Pesach, is a different halacha. The halacha really is, anyone know? For sure, at least Rov Kos, and even some are more machmir to have the whole cup. So in my house, my Seder on Pesach, before, that's why I've done these experiments of how big is a, you know, Melo Lukmav. We will measure it out. You know, I'll use Rav Rimon's shiur, and I'll try to purchase, you know, even if it's one of these, like, plastic, you almost put it together kind of wine glass, that are, like, you know, a little, around 3 ounces, a little over that. Because people, you know, otherwise, if you're drinking a rove of, you know, 6 fluid, time you get to that second cup and you finish Magid, you're going to be on the floor. If you're drinking even really, you're supposed to drink the whole thing, by the way. The rove is like a backup. Really, you know, but you're not. But a melo lukmav is not really enough on Seder, right? But the evidence is, meaning, if all a person drank was a melo lukmav for any of the arba kosos, I'm not saying you don't get your check mark for but the halacha is, you know, you're really supposed to drink. Even Ramon had that in the sefer I saw. You're really supposed to drink at least a half of the cup, you know, whatever, and how much it is in there. And ideally, you should try to finish the whole thing. So just giving you that eitza on Pesach, you should really don't try to use cups that are too big. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I'm having a memory right now. I just recorded. I don't know if I should say things. But like, you should ask Ryan Morgenstern about a famous story he had at his Seder, or infamous, I don't know, that revolved a large cup. you'll ask him about it.
Do the people who are yotze, your kiddush have to drink?
No. Pesach night, leave that aside. No, actually, we're about to talk about that. It comes up on the next page. We're going to hopefully get to that today. Right. The question is going to be discussed is, can my drinking and your drinking, if you hear my kiddush, can we add your consumption and my consumption to Melo Lugmav, and that counts? That's going to be the Shaila. Okay, yes, Simeon, go ahead.
Rav, I have to go back to Melo Lugmav again. Because okay. Lugmav is in the plural.
Yes. No. Lugmav would be.
No. Otherwise, it would be Melo Lugmo.
Okay, but that's why it would be. That's why it's his mouth. His whole mouth.
Cheeks. Both sides.
Right. Correct. That's why when he has to explain it, he has to give you a perush here, because otherwise you would think. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says you don't need a full mouth of both sides. Melo Lugmav means your mouth is full, not like puffing out. If you want to know exactly, move everything to one side of your mouth and then have a puffy cheek. That's the same amount.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that, Richie? A little before my time. So is showing you puff his cheeks out when he's so. Right, his cheeks, plural were full, and he was machmir.
He was machmir. He didn't need both cheeks. It was one cheek full. But that's but your grammar pickup is correct, and that's why the clarification is necessary. That milolugmav really only needs to be where you're puffing out one side of the mouth. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Samich ches. And by the way, anybody who wants to try that experiment too, by the way, if you did a milolugmav, if you puffed out both cheeks and you had how much were you able to be machzik in your mouth, you know, versus the one side, and then. Let's measure that up against some of the poskim's measurements of Rov Ravius. So here comes the question that Simeon raised before about different people of probably different sizes of mouth. I don't know. Their cheeks are different. I don't know. He says, the Arubo Shel Ravius, Samaches, Hainu Be'odam Beinoni, Machazik Shi'uro Kach. The average person can hold a Rov Ravius in their cheek. Okay, all right. That's the average person, an Adam Beinoni. Aval Adam Godol beYoser, person who is bigger. I'm not sure this depends on height. Does it depend on height to have a bigger mouth? I'm not sure. But Misha'arin Kimelo Lugmav Didei Lefi Godlo. If you have somebody bigger, so then you can measure the Melo Lugmav for their size, for their larger size.
Okay.
Umikol makom lo boy lishtos tfei mi revis. But for sure, you don't need to drink more than a revis. So rov revis maybe is an estimation, but a revis, you're enough. So you have this would be crazy though. I don't know if a person in their mouth could hold in one side of their mouth could hold 2.9 fluid ounces. If it could hold more than that, it could hold 3 fluid ounces in their cheek. Apparently, you don't need to drink more than 2.9. Like a revius, once you hit a revius, okay, a revius is enough. No matter how big your cheeks are, then you don't need to go more than that. That's your max. Vida deshir revius. Now he explains how do I get to a revius. Right, so let's take a look at this. Because the word comes from somewhere. It's not random, right? The revius sounds like it's a fourth of something, okay? So he explains here, the shir revius who kima'at melosh te klipos mi beitza beinonis shaltarna goles. The shir of a revius is equal to 2 eggshell worths. So if you probably like poked a little hole in or whatever and you filled up an eggshell with, you know, with water, it would revius equals 2 eggshells filled with water from an average sized chicken egg. Okay, mibesa beinonis shaltarnegoles. Vehu, now he explains how much is this. Vehu shir beitza umechza imaklipa. That equals 1.5 eggs if you count the shell. The first way I just described of is 2 eggshells that are filled. But I'm not counting the shell there. If you count the shell, it should be equal to 1.5 eggs. Okay? And the log who shisha beitzim. How do I know this? Because a log, these are measurements you'll find in the Gemara, a log, and actually in the Torah for them, right? Because the log comes up in the Torah. A log is equal to 6 eggs worth. Okay? In the Issa ba Gemara, that's the shear you'll find in the Gemara. Okay? Umimela, and if a log is equal to 6 eggs, umimela revius halog, a quarter of a log, do the math, who beitza umechza, is 1.5 eggs, including the shells. What is that equal to? Again, just to review, that's equal to 2 eggs that are filled with liquid, if I don't count the shell, of an average-sized chicken egg. Okay? Now, so a period. That's like the end. That's a period right there. Okay? So first of all, now you understand where revius comes from. A revius is a revius halog. A log equals 6 beitzim. Therefore, a revius is 1.5 beitzim. Okay? Now, the next part here is the chumrah that has been accepted by many parts of our Jewish community. V'yesh machmirin be'od be'inyan hashi'urim.
And there are those who are not just machmir, very machmir, machmir in me'od, right? When it comes to shiurim, the size of the amount of consumption. V'hochichu, and what do they say? What do those people say? V'hochichu, and they will, they'll prove. The habetzim niskatnu bizmanenu lemachatzis v'masha hayavim ehagemara. The chickens of our day, you read the Sadoros, their eggs are half the size of the days of yore. Okay, the alkane shir revius who be kiflaim, and therefore revius needs to be double what you think it should be. You take an egg and a half today, that's not enough. That would mean that it really the proper shear of a revius would be equal to three of the current day eggs. Okay, I'm not exactly sure, but there's a famous sort of machlokes, you know, that goes on out there. You know, there are those who, you know, on Pesach night, and you know, they have the shear cards, you know, like, and then you have to, and sometimes what's being asked of you to consume is far greater. So, and I'm not taking sides here. You know, is it possible that there's the eggs are slaying? The chickens are laying eggs that are half the size. I don't know. I tell you that I'm not enough of an expert. I don't work on a farm. I don't understand animals like this. Rabbi Nathan Slifkin, who definitely is a controversial figure in something in the Haredi Welt, they've authored his books. They put his books into Cherem. One time on Erev Pesach, he sent out an email on his distribution list, which I wasn't on, but someone told me about it. Or maybe they forwarded it to me. And he sent a PDF, apparently, and the email said, you'll click here for, you know, the sheet that tells you a kezias, you know, everyone has their sheet, how big a kezias is. And he had a PDF, and it was a picture of an olive. You know, not like it was just a picture of an olive. So look, you know, the question, have the olives gotten smaller? Have the chickens laid smaller eggs? Look. Even the Mishnah Berurah used the words machmirid me'od. Just putting it out there. Even he uses those words. And that's the nafkamina. He says, v'chei nafkamina mizeh le'inyan kezayis matzah. There's a big practical difference here. If you're trying to do the mitzvah, that's the biggest one, by the way. Because even my Kiddush, the oraisa of Kiddush is not through the wine. The wine aspect of Kiddush is the rabbanon. It's to enhance the mitzvah. Where it really comes into play about the shiurim is by matzah, because there the consumption is the mitzvah. The consumption itself is the mitzvah d'oraitza, and there if I don't eat the kezayis, I didn't do my mitzvah. So there, that's the real nafkamina of the sizes changed because the sizes that they were referring to in the Gemara were of larger chicken eggs and. So, again.
Look at the size of the food that the spice
came back with. Right, right. So, I think people who are on that the fruit used to be bigger, that, yes. So then it's
kezayis. Okay. But those were abnormal. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I believe so, yes.
Kezayis,
like the size of an olive, like an olive, yes.
You're talking about having
the eyes. Nothing, right? If you,
I'm just saying they were very.
So imagine if you had an olive, pick the smallest olive we have out there today, but you have like a big olive like this, you know, and you have to include all the volume of it. So if you crush up the matzah's flattened, but matzah has no, it's not three dimensional, you know, matzah is two dimensional. So you have to think about, you know, how much matzah you're going to eat in order to ensure that, you know, you've eaten.
I would say it's less than a quarter.
I would say it's less than a quarter.
The amount of matzah that they show is a kezayis.
Right. It's like a right. And I believe that those sheets are based on the chumrah that the eggs have shrunk. So that they're saying a kezayis is double what it probably looks like if you were to take an olive, put it in the blender, and figure out how big this is, or take an egg and put it in the blender and get the fluid ounces of.
Or just see how much water it is.
Right, or where you'd have to add a little bit, because 1.5 eggs, including shells, equals 2 eggs with just the liquid inside, where you don't include the shell, right? And then you could figure out, right?
You could figure out how big a kezayis is half an egg.
Right.
I've never seen an olive that big.
No.
And if they say that our eggs today are small,
it's not the
because I,
right.
You know, if the circumference of the olive is only half the circumference of the egg, and I've never seen one that big, then its volume is an eighth.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The whole chumrah around the matzah that has to be like you're eating like a whole board of matzah is interesting. By matzah, though, the
measure to a volumetric measure is 1 to 8.
Right.
So,
right.
That's much smaller.
That's even a smaller shear. Right. Yeah. So, by the way, and by matzah, just to make everybody aware, and we'll get to this when we get to Hilchos Pesach in about 6-7 years from now, but you know, we'll get there soon. Don't worry, we're almost there. When we get to Hilchos Pesach, if we had this shear every day, by the way, then we would make it to more like a couple of years to Hilchos Pesach. Yes. Nothing would make me happy, though. But my family knows that on Sunday morning, I'm in a happy, you know, I'm in a jolly mood after this year. I love teaching. Finn, he knows. So on Pesach, you have to have two kizesim, matzah. One is to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, but one that some may say you should also have another kizesim because you may have motzi, and that's a separate inyan. So you end up needing to have two kizesim at motzi matzah. One to get to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, that's its own inyan, and then there's the hamotzi aspect of it, where I need to have a kizayis there. That's not everyone will hold to that, but if you have two kizayisim, all right, so that's where a little bit more of the... Then you have to have korech, we have to have another kizayis matzah, correct. And then the afikomen, we also have a kizayis matzah, correct. So there's...
One
less. According to the sheets, though, that's like 6 matzahs. Okay. Let's keep going. I could go on all day about the shiurim. Yes, Simi, go ahead.
Rav, one thing here is very clear, and that is that irrespective of how many eggs worth we have to eat, when it comes to Kiddush, the minimum amount to mandate Kiddush with its bracha is infinitely more than the kezayit or the kebetza, the Hillel and Shammai minimal amount required for a bracha. Kiddush is much more.
Well, let's just remember the measurement here. For Revius is, row Revius is 1.5 eggs, including their shells. And actually, look at this next line that we were about to read here. That's why he's saying kezayis matzah duhu kachatzi beitza. A kezayis is equal to a half an egg. So a kezayis is actually a larger shear compared to. It's a smaller shear compared to Revius. Is that what you were saying, Simeon?
Yeah, it seems to me to make a bracha to support the bracha, you need a kezayit, or if you hold like Shammai, kebetza.
Right. Yes, but here a Revius,
you need more.
A beitza and a half. That's correct. Correct.
Kiddush mandates more.
Yes, if you're going to turn it all into, 100% in total volume at the end of the day, it is more. But it's because it's a liquid. Liquids, we measure in a revius. If it's a solid, we can start talking about kizesim, you know, in terms of minimum amounts for mitzvos. All right. Now he says, V'ayimaveir halacha, masha kasavnu be'inyan zed, the nochon locho shel dibrayim, he says it's right to be careful for their words. Le'inyan kiddush shalayla, so he thinks he should have more than, he should have the equivalent of 3 eggs minimally for kiddush at night. Ba'al kol panim, yira lechatchila sheyachzik hakos kishnei beitzim, or at the very least, instead of having, because we said that, Revius is, again, sorry, I guess with my own memory here, was a Revius. Halok is exactly 1.5 eggs, right? So he says at least when you're making kiddush, instead of having 3 in the cup, 3 eggs worth, and drinking 1.5, you should at least have 2 eggs worth in the cup, and then drink, drink from there. I'm a low lugmav. He says here, and when you drink, even though it's going to be a big cup, day. You could drink the equivalent of a lugma for yourself, meaning whatever fills half your mouth with a puffy cheek. Vida od the hashir shalom lugmav,
Sarek lishtos b'li hefsek harbe bintayim. You should drink the shir of malalukma without having too much of a break in between. Turn the page. Dehainu shelo yishah mitchilas shesia rishona ad sof shesia acharona yoseh michdei shtias shesias revias. You shouldn't have such a break from the first sip that you take to the last sip you take in the a measurement of a rov, revius, or we call it a cheekful, more than it takes to drink at a normal pace of a revius. So yeah, you have to drink around a rov revius, in the time it would take you to normally drink a revius if you drank at a comfortable pace.
Okay.
Now that's, you know, I don't know that that's like people run into such issues, but if you are only taking a sip at Kiddush and then another sip, it's probably not enough. Right? You probably do need to really have a good first consumption, you know, of it, and then you can take a second, and then that might get you there. But if you're just sipping the wine, that's not going to be enough. You're not going to get there if you just keep sipping. Oh, I'll finish my whole cup by the end of the meal. No. That's going to take you too much time. Okay. Now, keep going here. The alcohol ponim lo yafsik zman rav kedei kedei achilas pras. Nevertheless, you shouldn't stop for more time than it takes to eat a loaf of, you know, normal time it takes to eat a loaf of bread. And we usually assume it's like nine or ten minutes or something like that. Beim hitzik kedei achilas pras. If you stop for the size of it, you know, that it would take, you know, if you have that kind of a break, a 10 minute whatever, you didn't consume any wine in the interim. Af b'di'eved lo yotza, you're even b'di'eved didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Okay? V'tzarech lizar bazek kishim mekadesh b'shacharis al yein saraf, on whiskey. If a person makes, by the way, I always love the name of whiskey in the halachic literature. Burnt wine. You know? Yein saraf. Okay? He says you have to be careful if you're going to use whiskey for kiddush in the morning. She'az matzvei lehi kashel bazek. People get tripped up by this because why? When you don't take a, so his suggestion here is, you still, when you make kiddush over whiskey, this is what he's saying. You make kiddush over whiskey, you need to make still the minimum shear of a revius. That's a lot of whiskey,
right? Yeah,
right. And if you have to drink a melolugma of whiskey, okay. Melolugma, but a melolugma of bichdei achilas pras. Of whiskey means I'm consuming a cheekful of whiskey in less than 10 minutes or something like that. That's a lot of, and that's why he even uses the words. A lot of people are lehi kashel bazeh. I like to think he had it was a double meaning.
Yeah.
A lot of people are stumbling after this. Or you could also say a lot of people stumble on this halacha because they just, as is the case with whiskey, you take a shot, you take a little sip, you don't drink a melolugma of whiskey. So he's not, it's clear from this reading of the Mishnah Berurah that he's not a fan of the little shot kiddush. There are those who say that that's okay. I'm not going to, you know, stand up here and say that this is, you know, 100%, you know, no one holds of this. But certainly the Mishnah Berurah thought if you're going to make kiddush, even on Shachris, you know, in the morning on, you know, whiskey, you still need to make the shiurim work. To make the kiddush, but you got to make the shiurim work. So not everybody, again, some people hold, I think it's the Taz that says that because the sheer chashuv, remember it's about all what's chashuv, what's misyashav your das, is smaller for whiskey compared to wine. He holds that even that, it's a bit, I think it's the Taz, but don't hold me to that, but yeah.
How is that in the morning?
How are you saying it's even possible in the you say how is it even possible that non-wine is allowed? I will say, and with not apologetically, I will say that lechatchila you really should use wine. Like, we're going to see that, by the way. That's not even, not me.
No, but I'm saying,
we're going to see.
People
say
making in the morning.
Yeah. You could be. Yes. Well, because we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to kiddush, you know, in the morning. We'll talk about what you can use.
Why the rabbi counted on wine for everybody, and so therefore you're all yotze, and so it doesn't really matter what you do.
When he makes kiddush, yeah. We use grape juice.
So then, if I make Kiddush.
Yeah, you can listen. You don't have to drink. You don't have to drink. The person who makes Kiddush, we're about to actually get to this right now. The person, actually, it's the next part here. Watch this. Let's keep going. Let's go to Sif Yudalad. Shulchan Aruch, top of the page. Im lo tam ha-mekadesh. Okay, literally on what David was just talking about. If the mekadesh, the one who makes the Kiddush, doesn't taste from the cup. V'tam echad meha-mesubin. Kimelo Lugmav. But what somebody else, he hands the cup to somebody else and they drink their minimum shear, right? Melo Lugmav. By the way, you see here, haven't your edition? In mine, it has like a perish here, Melo Piv. It literally means a mouthful. That's why you had to clarify that it's one side of your cheek. Anyways, Yotza. That's fine. So I could make Kiddush and hand it off to anybody here. And if you drink the right amount, we're all good.
Yes, Adi.
The little kids?
You know, if you make it, it's going to be under the little
kids. No.
Oh, that's
great, that thing.
No.
As opposed to can a minor be the consumer of the...
Well, it's saying here that it could be someone else who
drinks. Echad me'amasubin, yeah.
Right, so then... But if the kids, are, you want them the ones who are getting the grape juice.
They're not in shul.
Oh, right. The Friday night kiddush here in shul.
They're getting the grape juice, so that they're all getting shots of it.
So hang tight. You'll see in a moment. It's a good observation, by the way.
By the way, Rav, that one person must be one of the people at the table that heard the Kiddush.
Absolutely. Echad meha mesubin. Correct. They are literally mesubin means laying down. They're one of the people who are, you know, at this feast. Very good. Yep. So now let's take a look for a moment at the Mishnah Berurah Samech Tes. Echad meha mesubin. So he says here, "Dekevan shehamesubin shamu mitchila es habracha." Since the mesubin heard from the beginning, they heard the bracha, heard the whole bracha. V'hu kivein alehem lahotzian, and the one making the kiddush had them in mind. Okay. Mehani ti'imasan lekulam. So then they can drink it. That helps for everybody. Because everyone was a part of that kiddush. Avalim shosa acher shelo kiven alav abracha. Someone who wasn't paying attention, who wasn't trying to be yotzei, drinks. The osa ha'acher berach mechadash. And that new person says, they finish the bracha and they hand it to them and say, oh, well, thank you. And they start making Kiddush, and they said, "Bera per gafen," same cup, so it wasn't wasted, right? But they make a bracha mechadosh, mashma she'en yotzim b'ti'imasa. When he finally gets to drinking it, that doesn't help everybody else who was a part of the first Kiddush. This guy wasn't a part; he wasn't mitzarif in the whole first Kiddush. Edino keilu nishbach hakoth lekaman. That's the halacha is like as if the cup got spilled, which was going to come to the case of what happens if which. Somehow in my house has never happened.
Yeah.
Nobody's bumped into me during Kiddush, Baruch Hashem, and I've never spilled a whole cup of Kiddush cup in the middle of Kiddush or even after making Kiddush. Lucky me.
Every Pesach.
Every Pesach. There's always some spilling, but that the whole cup, you've lost the whole cup sometimes? Okay, a whole cup. So they're going to tell what happens if you drop the cup by accident. You're about to take it, and it literally spills all over. So we're going to talk about what do you do if you spill the whole cup.
I'm a little confused.
But we'll get there, yeah.
I think it's a unique. I make Kiddush.
Yeah.
Friday night, let's say.
You make Kiddush Friday,
I
yeah.
One. I have the whole thing. And I make a Boru Priya Gafen. I can go ahead and give my wife or somebody else sitting there, whatever part of it, the entire cup. They could drink and be Yotze, and I don't have to drink anything.
That's correct.
That's the only time I find that you can make a bracha and then Birkas Anen and not drink anything.
There's another time. I've done this.
At a chuppah.
Right. Rabbi makes the bracha bari priya gafen, and he makes the.
So every Friday night we could do that same thing.
Yeah, the reason
why don't I just make a mazonos here and then give it over?
Right, which you could otherwise never do.
Right.
The reason is, I think Rishon Rabbah was about to explain this. I think, or maybe it was Aruch HaShulchan as well. It's because you are doing a mitzvah, and the wine is a part of this mitzvah, and you can make a birchas hamitzvah for somebody else. You are allowed to do that, right? And since the wine is part and parcel, you know,
So it's not really a
the mitzvah. It's a birchas nerayon that is connected to a mitzvah. And the connection with the mitzvah, I'm allowed to give you the wine to drink.
Completely. Please,
correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
You are able to. That's why you can. I
but
can make the bracha.
So far, the guy who blows it also hears. Here, I could say Baruch up and give Shlomo the wine. Right. I don't have to drag it. I can.
Right. Correct. Yes. It is a chiddush. You are otherwise. I thought our Hashulchan addressed this. Let me just quickly take a look here. Oh, here he talks about it. If I'm not mistaken, he talks about it here. He says, "V'nira da'ain and kedhu tehine zemuchach lehedja be'eruvin." And the Gemara in Eruvin, the Zarach Hashulchan, the Koshal Bracha ain ikuv im ain hamavarach shosehu ela acher. The Gemara in Eruvin talks about this. Shaharei Omer Sham le'inyan Yom Kippurim lemai da'hava sphere ladies geish levarach shechianu al hakos. The Omer Sham Hechi Avid. How can you make Shachian on a coast on Yom Kippur? Are you going to drink it? So the Gemara asks it. Even Varech Aleh, Veshos Aleh, gave him the Amar, Azman, Kible Liom, Liyo, Azman, Kible Liom HaKippur, and Ve'asr. So what do? The Gemara suggests, Liyasve Liyanuka. Give it to a kid. But, you know, how could you even think about such an answer? Again, we don't do such a thing. But the fact that you could even answer that you could make a shechianu over a cup of wine on Yom Kippur and that I can hand it to a kid as that being a valid answer shows you that when it's tied to a greater mitzvah of being mekadesh the day, then you can hand it off because it's all out the mitzvah and we're all a part of the mitzvah. Okay, yeah. So that's New Perish Rashi. And Rashi says there in Erevin, the Hadar Mina HaMavarach Tzarech Shiyitom, it says that the mevarach has to taste. Lav dafka mevarach. Who didn't acher? The tamav who mishum the gnai lekoshal bracha shul yehane adam. It's a gnai. It's a disgrace that the person who made the bracha shouldn't at least take something. But it's not to say that you have to taste it. Okay, that's how Rashi explains it in the Gemara there. All right. Shul yehane adam le'alter shetehav bracha shul torach alik amashonim. Now we're going to see that the Gaonim are about to, they're not going to like this. The Gaonim are going to come in, the Shulchan Aruch is about to bring it in. The Gaonim are going to be the ones who insist that if you make Kiddush, you should taste it. But me Iker Hadin, technically you can hand it off. The Gaonim are going to argue with this. This is why you've probably never been to somebody's house where they've handed the cup to somebody else fully and they've drank it. Yeah, drunk. Yes, it's Shulchan.
So if you make a Kiddush and you have a party of people sitting next to you, I think in Bushabara, yeah. You drink the wine. Do they have to drink the wine to come up to be yotzei?
If I make kiddush,
yeah.
I drink.
You drink the milagma.
No, they don't have to. We're about to see. Where is it?
Can I drink a little bit?
We're actually going to be. We're about to get to that part where next line.
It
addresses your question. Yes.
If Shlomo can drink my wine here, that you put
yes.
Can I just drink a less than a shear and then he drinks and some start?
Meaning you drink first a less than a little guava and then give it to him?
Yeah, I mean.
Probably.
There's nothing.
It's coming up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's saying no.
Let's take a look here.
It says no?
Rav.
Here we go. Yes, Damien.
It says yeah.
Rav, I don't know what Masechta you just read from, but I remember learning in a Masechta, and I don't recall which one for the moment, about a Yom Tzom, if there's a Bris Milah, and the Bris Milah actually overrides the mandate of the Tzom, and the Gemara offers a couple of alternatives. One is the Yelet HaNolad.
If on Yom Kippur you have a Bris, And so the mother is no longer in the category where you can give her because she's outside of the three to seven
right.
days. Maybe
right.
On Yom Kippur, the Eitzah is to give it to the Tinok, a little taste. But here's the difference. I just want to explain something. Right, you don't give him a shear. Okay, let it be on the record that I said this
yes,
very clearly.
Don't
give the baby the shear. Because and this is in general the case. The only time you need a revius. A roe revius or malo lugmav is when you are drinking for a kos shel mitzvah. if you are not where it's a, not just a minhag that we use there. At the chuppah, it's a minhag that we use the kos. At a brith, it's a minhag that we use the kos. Now, it's already in Shulchan Aruch. It's not like it's a... You won't find in the Shulchan Aruch, it talks about that when you do the brith milah, you, like it does like Kiddush, you know, that you have to use a kos. Or... So there, a te'ima ba'alma is enough, which is why when the rabbi gives the chasan and kala, many of whom are fasted the whole day, you tell them, take a sip. All you have to do is take a sip. You just because a bracha rishona, all it requires is a sip. There, it's to enhance the mitzvah, but it's not part and parcel of the mitzvah like Kiddush wine is. That's a very different drinking of a shir. The only other time where it's like that, I believe that's a Birkas HaMazon, where there's a mitzvah aspect to it. And even that today is, I don't know, you know, whatever. It's, you know, but there, Gemara talks about using a kos after Birkas HaMazon.
But also, you mentioned Rav. Aisha Hamialedes,
yeah.
And that's important to know because she's within 8 days of having given birth, and she's not mandated to observe the fast.
For Yom Kippur, she is though. It's very complicated halacha, but yes, for the other fast days, yes, I agree with you. The eitzah is to give it to the mother who gave birth. But otherwise, if it's Yom Kippur, you have to give it to the
country. On Yom Kippur, she's not off the hook?
No. Unless she's, you know, in a medical state where she's in a sakana, sakana's nefashos, she's no longer, 3 to 7 days is where it's, you can, you know, first 3 days, no, nothing. She can't even fast if she wanted to. 3 to 7 days is like, if she can, she should. But after that, she's essentially a regular person for the halacha, which is very hard to tell a mother because they're probably not feeling so well. But we'll deal with that question when it comes up.
Okay.
Breastfeeding is a whole to do. It's not an easy shiloh. Okay, take a look now. Next line in the Shulchan Aruch, end of the first line. V'ein shisiyat shnayim mitzarefet l'malolugmav. According to the first opinion, two people's drinking can't be counted together. One person has to have a melolugmav at some point. Okay? That's the first opinion. Sifkat on ayin. Take a look down below, just a short little thing. As we'll see in Sifkat on Samechei. Why do they insist... as we saw in Sifkat on Samechei. Why do we insist on someone has a melolugmav? Because that's going to be miyashiv somebody's das. You have to have like... A little Yishuv Adas. Somebody has to have some Yishuv Adas from the wine. It's a Shir Chashuv. If nobody has enough of that, then it wasn't the full experience of the enjoyment of the sanctity of Shabbos coming in. So that's how you explain that line. Now back upstairs in the Shulchan Aruch, when we call Makom, this goes to, I think, Shlomo's question from a moment ago. Nevertheless, Mitzvah Min HaMufchar Sheyitamu Kula. It's the Mitzvah Min HaMufchar. It's the choicest of the mitzvahs. The way of doing the mitzvah is that everyone should taste from the Kiddush wine. Now, Ayin Aleph down below. Let's clarify one more fact here about that. I knew Te'ima Ba'alma. Other people could just have a taste, which is, by the way, you know, that's what we do around my table. You know, look a little whatever. I make Kiddush. I drink the shir. You know, but you know the whatever the you know you pour a little into these little cups. And you give everybody, you know, and that's enough. Te'ima ba'alma. It's a nice idea, but nobody has to drink those. It's certainly not a problem if you just listen. That's a mitzvah min hamufchar. Ve'ein tzarech melolugmav rak le'echad. Only one person needs to drink the melolugmav. Because of the Magen Avraham, the Mishi Yesh lo yayin ma'at. And even the Magen Avraham goes further and says here, if you don't have a lot of wine left in the bottle, Mutav shiito mechad kashir v'hamisubin lo yitamu klal. Maybe you don't even have enough from the bottle to make a second cup. So you know what? Mm-hmm. Only the person who made the kiddush drink them a lulugma, and you know everyone else just doesn't taste anything. Kadesh yishar hanosa lemachar the kiddush or the havdalah. So that way you have enough wine for the next day kiddush or havdalah. So yes, that's more important than the other people around the table getting a little taste. Yes, say that, Richie. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You pour it in, and it goes all the. Yeah.
So does the guy who makes it drink first below Rukma and then pour it in?
So what I do. I make Kiddush. I have another cup that's full of wine over here, a big one, not full to the top. And I will take and I'll just pour. Before I taste the thing, I'll just take a little pour into this other cup. Therefore, the mitzvah Kiddush wine is mixed in. And all I have to do is a pima ba'alma, so even if there's a little drop that gets mixed into your personal little cup. So then I'll drink, because you should try to minimize the time between the bracha and the drinking, 100%. So I drink, put it down, take the other cup. I don't use that thing anymore because I don't trust it. Somehow that thing always leaks. But then I'll take from this cup, which is mixed with the Kiddush wine, and I'll pour into the little cups, and I'll pass it around to people, whoever would like to drink. That's what I do. You want to drink pretty quickly, but I take a little pour into the other cup. That way the mitzvah Kiddush wine is mixed in, and then I drink a little lugmav, and then I get to the business of pouring.
What about pouring for yourself into another cup?
We're going to come to that. It's better if you drink from the Koshkel Kiddush, the one that, which you made the. I'm not saying you can't do the mitzvah that way, but it's better to drink. We'll see. We're going to come to that. Okay. Not today, next week. Yes, Tom.
Don't drink from the mitzvah. Just drink from their
being they not mixed in.
Right.
It's fine. They can do that.
It's not mitzvah.
The part of the Kiddush wine that, upon which the guy, the person making the Kiddush was holding. Right, the Shiraim, you could drink at that point because you're Yotze through my Bor Pri HaGafen, let's say, and you have your little cup there. That's fine, nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't necessarily fulfill the mitzvah min ha'bavchor. But if it's by the way, yes, yesterday, for example, I made Kiddush on wine and I poured for all the people around the table, but not for the children. They had grape juice. So I had already pre-poured out the grape juice for them, and I just gave it to them, You have to weigh the different things, the values of the table.
Did they have different wine
takes on wine? Yeah, it's fine. The Bor Pri works for them, 100%. But I didn't pour it from my cup into their, the wine into their, Anywho. Take a look back upstairs. Now, V'yesh Omrim, second opinion. First opinion was, one person has to have Melo Lugmav. Second opinion, Yesh Omrim, opinion of the Ritva, which is, the Kevin Shebein Kulam, Tam Uka Melo Lugmav, Yotsu, the Shesias Kulam Mitzarefes L'Chashir, because if you have two people, or many more, actually, more than two, if the amount consumed of the Kiddush wine in the cup amongst all the Mesubim who listen to the Kiddush equals Imalo Lugmav, that's enough because everyone's Shtia is Mitzarefes to the Shir. Take a look at Ayin Beis. The Kevin Shebein Kulam Vechulei, Hainu B'diavad. This is all B'diavad, right? Aval Lechatchila, Kulei Am Atzarech Shiyutam HaMekadosh Kashir. Everyone agrees Lechatchila, the one who makes Kiddush should be the one should drink a Melo Lugmav. It's more like after the fact. If you realize, you look back, never drank enough. But actually, between everybody, we drank enough. Okay, so you don't have to go back and make Kiddush again. But really, Lechatchila, you shouldn't follow the Ritva's opinion. It's a B'dieved halacha. He's saying it's an after the fact. You're okay. Okay. Now here comes a fascinating opinion. The Hagaonim. This goes to David. What you were saying before. The Hagaonim Sover. The Gaonim had the opinion. Sheim lo tam hamekadesh. If the one who made Kiddush doesn't taste the wine, lo yatsa. Game over. Doesn't count. V'roi lochu shadivrem. And the Michaber Paskins, it's fitting to be careful for their words, meaning the person who makes Kiddush should always make sure to drink. Okay? You say it's a chumrah, it's not in the Gemara. I agree. The Gaonim come after the Gemara, right? They're much later. But this was their opinion. Vedafka beKiddush. This is specifically by the Gaonim when it comes to Kiddush. Aval b'shar dvarim hateunim kos. Wedding, bris, modim Gaonim desagi b'teimas acher. Another person can taste it. That's why when the rabbi makes under the wedding, under the chuppah,
The rabbi makes the bracha, bari pei gafen, and then the bracha, the birchas erusin, he gives the chassan and kala to drink. He doesn't even take, you don't take a sip even, as the rabbi. I'm telling you, don't take a sip. Because it's dvarim hatu'unim kos, it's not a mitzvah. It's we hold a cup to enhance the moment, but you don't have to consume a particular shear. You have to consume a drop because you made a bari pei gafen. So you have to have something. But that's somebody else can do, which is the David's point. That is the chiddush. That I can make a bari pei gafen and then you could drink even a sip is the chiddush, because you're never allowed to do that. I can't, you know, make a bari pei gafen and hand him an Oreo. That doesn't work. I'm not taking it from you. Okay? It doesn't work. Right? Unless I also drink, and if I eat an Oreo and I say mezonos and he also wants to eat the Oreo, that's fine. But I can't make a mezonos for him to eat the Oreo. That makes no sense. But when there's a mitzvah attached to the wine, through the channel of the mitzvah, which I can't do for other people making the bracha, then I'm allowed to hand it off to them. Anyways, let's take a look now, Yermo, for a quick moment.
But is that bracha valid according to the Gaonim? If he himself, if the Mekadesh, doesn't actually taste the wine?
If it by the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos, no. By other things, yes. Like, again, a bris, a wedding.
I understand by other things. But on Kiddush, Shabbos, if he passes around the wine, are the other mesubim required to recite the bracha themselves?
It seems, according to the Gaonim, yes, that you're not Yotze, according to the Gaonim. Correct. Oh, I hear your question. Hold on. We might not get to it today, but your question is dealt with. I saw it in my extra commentary over here. What about the other people? Like, why am I being held you know, it's a bad word here, but why am I not able to fulfill my mitzvah because you failed to drink the wine? I listened. I said amen. I did my job. My job was not to drink. Your job was to drink. Why am I subject to your mistake? Let's read a little bit here. Ayin Gimel Ayin Dalet, and we'll read one comment, then we're done. Ayin Gimel Lachosh Lidivrayim. Ayinu Li Zoher Lichatchila Ufidiyavad Hiskimu Harbe Acharonim. Look, the Mechaber says when we're saying we're being careful for the Gaonim, that's Lichatchila. Bidiyavad, after the fact, many achronim agree that afilu shtiyas kolam esum mitzar for them lo lugav. You can even rely on the Ritva's opinion that add everybody's drink consumption up, and if that's a lo lugav, it could work. Ach shelo yishel yinei shtiyas kulam yoser michtei achilas. Trust me, you have to have it in the right amount of time, less than the time it would take you to eat a loaf of bread at a normal pace. Okay. V'dafka b'kiddush ayin dalid. Shehu Dvar Torah. Why are we so machmir by Kiddush about this inyan? That you have to, the person who makes Kiddush, they should drink it. That's only when it comes to Kiddush on Shabbos, because that's from the Torah. And the rabbis use a pasuk from the Torah as an asmachta to say why you should drink wine. You should remember it over a cup of wine. So therefore, we're more machmir about that situation than we are about other situations. Now, in my extra comments here, I think I had saw this before. Yeah, let's see here. So here they write, it's number 79. I guess Tommy has the addition over there. Omnam lekaman. We're going to see. Oh, no, this is going to be a problem that we're going to have in a moment. Here the next one. I'm just going to raise one problem, and then we'll solve it probably in a couple of weeks. But this is what my extra comments here say. Omnam lekaman and reish ayin gimel. So two simanim from now, the Shulchan Aruch writes over there. Sheyachol adam levarich laachirim es birchas hagefen shel hakiddush afal pisha eno shosem mehayayin. He's going to write in a couple simanim, which is a complete stira to what he just wrote. That you can make a bracha bar per gafen of kiddush for other people, even though you don't drink from the wine.
Kevin Shabir Chasagefen, he chovas hakiddush. Vedina ke kiddush hayom. And the since the bracha of Hagafen is the obligation of kiddush, and this is a halacha that's tied to kiddush hayom. That's why you can make it for somebody else. Lichora hu shelo kashitas hagaonim. This would be in complete contrast to the Gaonim, which he just quoted as a Roy Lachosh of the Devrayim. So how do we explain this? Rabbi Akiva Eger gives a teretz. I don't know what you think about it. It's okay, teretz. I mean, who I say it's okay. I don't see how it fully sews up the issue. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, Sha'af l'das ha-Gaonim. What you have to say is that even according to the Gaonim, ain't shesiyas ha-Mekadesh me'akebes, ela kishiyotze af ha-Mekadesh yedei chovaso be'kiddush zeh. When is the Shita of the Gaonim come into play? The Shita of the Gaonim that affects you. If I eat a Kiddush and I don't drink, and I give it to you to drink, according to the Gaonim, I'm not Yotze. You're not Yotze. The whole thing is ruined. But if I make Kiddush for you, then you drink it, that's okay. He says the difference is because the Shisiya, is not the Akev, or is only ma'akev when I'm also being yotzei through the kiddush. So if I'm Kori Rabbi Akiva Eger, if I'm yotzei through the kiddush and I give it to you to drink, the Gaonim say that's not okay. You should have consumed from it because you're being yotzei. You're the one saying the words. Therefore, you need to drink it, which is a kiddush that should affect you. But aval kishe'eno mekadesh ela avur achem. Let's say I'm just going to make kiddush for other people. Right, I told you about the case of the rabbi who goes, you know, let's say I make kiddush for myself, and then on Friday night I go to the local nursing home to make kiddush for the patients there who are not able to even hold the cup by themselves. But I want them to hear the mitzvah, I want them to hear, or I want them to, I don't know, and then they can drink it if I give it to them, but they're not, they don't know the words of kiddush, whatever. I go and make it and I give it to them to drink. My drinking doesn't matter. I never made the kiddush for myself. I made it for you. So by handing it to you, then it's okay. So I hear Rabbi Akiva Eger's splitting hairs here. But it's a kiddush to say that if I'm being yosef through the kiddush, I have to drink it according to the Gaonim. So much so that the whole kiddush doesn't work.
How does that work?
People, then if I have that in mind, I'm not being yosef through this kiddush, then it's okay if someone else drinks it.
Do you have to make a declaration when you, does the Mekadesh have to make a declaration before he makes Kiddush that this is him?
I don't know if they have to make a verbal declaration, but they probably have to know in their mind, am I being Yotze? Which, you know, you probably are thinking about, right? Am I Yotze? Even if you don't have to say it, but if you're thinking, I'm being Yotze through this Kiddush, then you're Yotze. If you're not, if your thoughts are, I'm making this for this patient, you know, who's in the hospital, who's in the nursing home, and I want them to hear Kiddush, and they're going to drink it, then you're not Yotze. It's all about your mindset.
Must be the wedding situation. Then the bride and groom drink it, right?
That they have to have in mind. By the way, so you should know, I'm not Mesadar Kedushin too often, but when I am Mesadar Kedushin, I will...